This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. 7:37 Wednesday, November the 10th. We're going to shift to the US because 1 year out from the 2022 midterm elections, a majority of Americans say that President Joe Biden hasn't paid enough attention to the nation's most important problems, as a majority disapprove of the way he's handling his job as a president, and this is according to multiple polls. And this sentiment is reflected in recent U.S. elections that took place last week in the state of Virginia, where a Republican newcomer defeated an incumbent Democrat in a state that the president actually won by 10 points in the last presidential election.
Now, President Biden has a very tough challenge because he has to contend with a deeply divided Democratic Party as he attempts to resolve bitter disputes between progressives and moderates over a whole series of bills. Of course, the most recent being the US $1 trillion infrastructure bill that was passed without support from some key members of the progressive wing of the party. So the question is, what will President Biden need to do to regain support to hold on and control Congress in next year's midterm elections? Or will we see a resurgent Republican Party that has moved on from former President Donald Trump?
So to gain some insights on the political developments taking place in the United States, we have on the line with us Adrian Ang, Research Fellow in the United States Program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Good morning, Adrian. Now, President Biden really got a bit of a bloody nose when he lost the safe Democratic governorship of Virginia. Is this an indictment of his leadership?
Good morning. Yes and no, because what we saw in not just Virginia, but also New Jersey and elsewhere is what we political scientists call the phenomenon of surge and decline. So part of it was the enthusiasm and excitement of the on-year presidential election cycle, where the winning president's party, his partisans are all excited, right, during that cycle. There is an inevitable fall off or decline in the off-year cycle election, and their enthusiasm wanes and the opposition party recovers and recruits. And there's also a component where voters evaluate the president's performance in office as well as the state of the economy.
I mean, so we saw this in Obama and also in Trump, where both the party lost the House in the following midterms. Do we see this repeat itself again, you know, next year then as for upcoming midterm elections?
Okay, so let put it this way. In the last 100 years, only two presidents, FDR in 1934 and George W. Bush in 2002, have actually bucked the trend of the president's party losing seats in his first midterm election. So history is against Biden.
Now, I think Biden is probably in a very tough spot, right? Because he's got a part of his party that doesn't want to listen to him. He doesn't control the Supreme Court. So what do you think are his priorities in terms of on his agenda? What does he want to push for next year then?
Right. So I think part of it has been self-inflicted, right? So Biden, when he won last year, didn't have what we call electoral coattails. So he couldn't drag a whole bunch of members of Congress or senators across the line with him, so such that the Democrats have razor-thin margins in both the House and the Senate, right? The Senate is basically a deadlock with Vice President Harris casting the deciding vote. But what he has chosen to do is he has, right, sort of rightly or wrongly decided that he is going to be the second coming of FDR, except he doesn't have, right, the congressional support to govern like FDR. And he has, right, and as such, raised the hopes of progressives. And now we're seeing that, right, those hopes are being dashed. So right now that the infrastructure bill has been passed, right, Democrats have to now turn their attention to the budget reconciliation bill, which contains the bulk of Biden's social spending plans, right? And if they get that through, right, maybe, just maybe, they can turn their attention to some voting rights reforms.
you know, when I listen to you, a lot of it seems to be very domestic driven in terms of what will shift the voter base. Is there anything external that actually changes the equation or the decision, really, like China, like climate change?
Right. I don't think that is going to affect voters' decisions very much, you know, short of, you know, a cataclysmic external event, you know, such as war, right? Midterms are usually right, fought on domestic events, the economy and such.
Yeah, but I also am curious in terms of the voter base. Why suddenly has he, President Joe Biden was the president which won the most number of votes in history. But this time round, he doesn't seem to be gaining much ground with the real voting public in America. Do the Democrats have an understanding of who their voter base is actually, or are they disenfranchising them?
Right. So this is a very interesting question because, again, right. So we are looking at this phenomenon of surge and decline. So there is some indication, definitely, that the Democrats' voter coalition is unstable. So again, as you pointed out, when he won the election last year, right, a key part of that coalition was suburban voters, right? And I think large parts of the Democratic establishment had figured out or thought that, you know, they had won these suburban voters back. But, you know, as we saw in Virginia and New Jersey, right, that is a highly questionable assumption, right? And the other part of the equation is the Republican Party's performance as well, right? We should not overlook that, right? So in the case of Virginia with Youngkin, right, so what we had was a candidate who could excite, mobilize, and turn out the Republican base, right, especially low education white voters, in the way that, you know, President Trump was able to do, but, you know, without a lot of the baggage that comes with Trump himself.
Right. So then does this mean that the Republican Party can now finally shed off its reliance on Donald Trump as a brand?
Right. That's a very good question, because Youngkin certainly provides a template for the Republican Party to do so, right? So you have right here a candidate that sort of almost split the difference with Trump. So, you know, sort of you don't fully embrace Trump, but you don't fully repudiate the former president as well. You know, whether the GOP can successfully right navigate this balancing act, we'll have to see next year.
And maybe this is a bit of an unfair question and asking you to look into the crystal ball. But does this mean that at the end of the day, President Joe Biden is going to be a bit of a lame duck president and unlikely to be there for a second term?
You see, even if Biden loses the midterm election, and again, right, you know, as I said, most presidents do lose, their party loses their first midterm, it doesn't necessarily affect the outcome of the following presidential election.
Mm.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Adrian Ang, Research Fellow in the United States program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, giving us his views on Joe Biden's performance up to date. And he's in a really tight spot because he's got a very narrow margin. Added to that, he's got a party that doesn't want to listen to him.
Yes, this is where I think it becomes a point where do we expect, right, for the Democrats to lose the House? I think the answer is yes.
And then history says so.
And history says so. And look at Obama, right, with Obamacare. Obamacare was not popular, but now it's necessary.
Yeah, especially with COVID-19. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.